It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, and the Royals still at it today. No off days.
That's
not
next Thursday.
Not right now during this 20-game stretch. They're in Houston taking on the Astros. 7-10 first pitch here on 96.5. The Fan, Brady Singer, gets the nod. An Astros team that is playing some really good baseball. It looks like they're going to win the American League West. But the Royals trying to bounce back off of yesterday's loss. The bullpen should be fully useful, except maybe Ursa. I don't know if Ursa would be available today. Who knows? Other than that, everybody else should be good, you would think.
Yeah, they saved themselves a little bit of trouble yesterday by going to Stratton, and then, yeah, maybe not Ursa available, but a better chunk than was yesterday. As we talked about, part of the reason for that loss, we'll get into that in just a minute. Next up on What's Trending, NFL held some meetings with some of their brass today, all the NFL reporters on it, where they admitted what I think we've been telling you for 6 weeks. Rashee Rice is not going to get suspended to start the year by the NFL. They said today that they are going to wait for a material change in his current legal standing before making a decision on whether or not to suspend him. As it sits right now, Rashee Rice does not have a court date for the criminal charges filed against him. He does have for his civil charges, which is in the middle of next summer. You would think that some of that would probably be settled before they got all the way to that court case, but that's around the time there. So Rashee Rice, by all accounts, will not be suspended at probably any point this season, but certainly not the beginning.
Next up on What's Trending, we know college football really gets going this week, and it starts for two of the local schools tonight. Missouri hosting Murray State. The Tigers, 47.5-point favorites. We'll talk more specifically about them and the rest of the locals a little bit later on in the 1 o'clock hour. KU also in action tonight. Remember, these games are at Children's Mercy Park. Lindenwood and UNLV before they go to Arrowhead later on and play there. But the Jayhawks, 44.5-point favorites against Lindenwood to kick off their campaign. And then this weekend, Kansas State hosting UT Martin.
College football's back, man. Are you excited? You got some bets in tonight?
I do.
I don't have any bets.
I got a couple.
Yet.
I like. I told you, like, the over in the KU game, 59. I think it's up to 59.5 now at a couple spots. Colorado and North Dakota State. North Dakota State plus 9.5.
You like the 9.5?
Yep.
You're a Deion hater, man. Such a Deion hater.
I'm not.
Honestly, really easy to be a Deion hater right now. He's coming off like a real jerk.
I'll still stand by what I said during the season last year. I give them a ton of credit. I was surprised with the start of the season. My issue last year was not anything. It was, what did I say last year? It was that after they won against TCU, people acted as if they had won the national title or that they were going to go win the Pac-12. Now the Big 12. The Pac-12. And I said, let's relax. It also turned out TCU stunk last year. Deion gets credit for turning the program around. This year, I think they're going to win like 6 games.
Which would still be a mass improvement from where they were.
And yet, people act like they're going to go and compete for a title. Like, that's my issue strictly has to deal with, other than the recent stuff with the weird media thing that's going on there in Colorado right now, is that the expectations get crazy after one win. That's it. It's good for college football, and tonight's good for college football. And North Dakota State, they give teams fits all the time. I think Colorado wins, but I think it's closer than people realize.
So some people think this could be the end of this could be the last season that, you know, Deion is.
I think that's
at
a possibility. He's not going to get fired. I think he'll leave on his own.
I think there's a pretty good chance that if he can't win there, he'll just leave.
Yeah, we were talking to somebody in Vegas about this.
I think that's probably accurate.
We were talking to a former NFL player, college player, assistant coach, and SEC, and
played at Colorado.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, he's a Colorado alum, and he can't stand what's going on with their program. Anyway,
It really does.
Cordell Stewart. Next up on what's What's trending? Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors have agreed to a new 1-year extension worth $62.3 million. Steph Curry is sticking around with the Warriors a little bit longer. There was big questions for me. I was always wondering if they were going to try to like pair him and LeBron up, kind of like, especially after all the Olympic stuff. You're like, I'm going to put these two guys on a team one more time so they can try to ride out one last title. But you know what happens in the NBA. Once you're kind of in the case where you're not really actively competing for one, it's hard to imagine a world where Steph's going to win another NBA final. But I don't know, put him around the right team. Leave the Warriors, and I think it'd be more than plausible. Stay with the Warriors. That feels like a long shot.
Lastly on what's trending, the New England Patriots have named Jacoby Brissett their starting quarterback for week one, despite drafting rookie Drake May. This was kind of expected. Brissett got hurt in the final preseason game, so there was some thought maybe that Drake May would end up starting there. But if you were to ask people in New England before training camp began, the expectation was they would go with the vet. I always disagree with it for the most part. Drake May will start games at some point. The question is it 5 weeks in? Is it 12 weeks in? You're not going anywhere with Brissett. They know that. Stable ship. Let him learn. And then Drake May, I'm sure, will get in at some point this season. Drew was excited about Jacoby Brissett starting this morning.
I was pleased.
Yeah, why?
Do you have like some do you have some like New England wide receivers?
Do you have
something?
Props on New England to not be the worst record in football or something?
No,
I think this still could happen.
They play the Bengals in week one.
Give us
a win, please.
So you thank think you.
I actually think they have a better chance to win with Brissett week one.
Yes. Oh, who? New England?
Yeah.
No.
Week one.
I disagree with that, too. To Drew's point, you're saying that Drake May is an unknown, but if he just is really, really freaking good, he could have surprised you guys week one. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because there's no... Look, we know what Jacoby Brissett is.
We do.
The rookie, it's hard to tell. Some guys have the rookie season where they just go nuts, and then once you get figured out...
But more often than not, they don't.
Jacoby
like 85% of the time, the rookie quarterback doesn't just like go off.
Sure.
Drew, what would your reaction be if Jacoby Brissett is carving up the Cincy defense? I'm trying to say that with a straight face. Jacoby Brissett is carving up the Cincy defense with Demario Douglas and Jalen Polk.
It would confirm the number one concern going into the season. The offense is fine. The offensive line is fine. The wide receivers are fine. Running back's fine. The defense sucked last year. It would be they'd fix nothing, and Lou Anarumo, his job is, you know, the clock's ticking if they get torched by Jacoby Brissett.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. Here in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, get his perspective on so far this 20-game stretch and also how yesterday in that series played out. Look, I get why everybody was frustrated yesterday. They were that close to sweeping the Guardians, of course. Like you're that close to being able to do that and really set yourself up nicely as you head to Houston, and they're still set up pretty nicely. They're a game back in the division. It was successful 3 out of 4.
It's a good series.
I think the frustration in particular was the seventh inning.
Yeah.
That's where it all fell apart.
The Michael Walker.
It fell apart. And I just think if you looked at the situation that Matt Quatrero was working with, based off of how great the bullpen had been earlier, there's a downside to that. It meant you had to rely on them. And the starting pitchers had only given you 10 and a third prior. So you knew going into yesterday that Michael Walker was going to have to give you 7 or at least try. And they tried to make it happen. I think they forced the issue because they had to. It backfired. It didn't work out. They went to Urseg. He's been great. He still is. But yesterday,
just had his worst outing.
Did not have his best outing. Some soft contact. Baseball happened, right? And so they lose that game. But this notion of like they should have gone to all these different players or brought them in earlier.
I guess
Walker had to get to the seventh, in my opinion.
I am curious. 913-586-7965. Hit us up. You can call us. 913-586-7965. We'll take your text or your phone calls on this. But what I want to ask is, what would you have done? Tell me. Like, if you didn't want to throw Walker in the sixth, you break down the seventh, eighth, and ninth for me, and you better not list somebody I know wasn't available.
Yeah, let me go through.
So I'll give you a call. 913-586-7965. Give me the other plan.
Because here's who was not available, according to Q, after the game. Schreiber, Long, MacArthur, and Hernandez were all unavailable yesterday. Also, it sounded like they didn't want to pitch Daniel Lynch because he threw 31 pitches a couple days before, and he's adapting to a bullpen role.
And they don't even know who's going to start for them, hypothetically, in the next 4 days when Lorenzen's up. So they got to keep him fresh in case it's him. versus Marsh. So let's put Lynch on our list of don't throw him. So really, here's what you're down to. Did you want to throw Chris Stratton in the seventh in a clean inning? Now, remember, you watched him in the eighth. Okay, so then you were going to do Urcig in the eighth, the ninth. Who were you pitching in the eighth? Steven Cruz? Like, if you're asking me right now, who had a better chance to get three outs in that game, knowing what was available to them in the bullpen, Steven Cruz against the heart of the order, or Michael Wacha, Wacha, every time. And I don't even need the revisionist history. I just knew they were thin on bullpen arms. So if you got a better plan, I'm curious for it, because this shouldn't rattle you.
Yeah, text line.
The truth is, this shouldn't rattle you.
Multiple people have texted and just say, hey, Bubich. They
Someone says Garrett Hampson.
Garrett Hampson has a perfect ERA. That's true. Someone mentioned Bubich on a more serious answer, breaking out how that would work. Okay, so Bubich comes in the seventh in, clean inning.
Mm-hmm.
Then who's pitching the eighth?
And then again, maybe Urcig. And you're like, well, six outs with Urcig. Okay, fine. Maybe you get the win that day. The problem is that we always think in these things in the micro. And when you play 162 days and you don't have another off day for a week, well, then who's not available tonight, Gold? Maybe still not Lynch? Okay, now maybe we can bring some of the other names back in who you just said were unavailable in the other ones. But that means if Urcig goes six outs, well, he's not available for a save tonight, which means now it's MacArthur who might, there's a lot of problems that just kind of go down and down and down. The truth of the matter is very simple. There were two things that were at play here that have been at play all season long. One was a short-term problem, as in they only got 10.1 innings out of their starters in three games that were only in 2 days. They were always going to have limited bullpen options. Option two is, no matter how you want to play this out, you'd be like, Walker shouldn't come out on the sixth. They do not have enough bullpen arms to cover the distance you want to do with confidence ever. They just
especially
don't.
Especially not
yesterday. Not unless it's six outs.
Especially not yesterday.
But even in a fully healthy bullpen. Most outs you would tell me right now, Alex, you are confident this team could get out of anyone's lineup is six. And if you say it's nine, you're not telling me the truth. And so the honest answer is, if a pitcher has it or you think can get the three outs, sometimes it's worth going through the risk on that.
The one part I actually will entertain, and I think it's a little more fair than just simply saying, well, they shouldn't have had Walk out there at all in the seventh, was that, hey, after the home run, how come they didn't take Walk out? I think we also found out, though, that Urcig barely had any time to warm up even the second time. You know what I mean? So they weren't keeping Walk out in the seventh thinking that they were going to have to immediately go to Urcig, right? I mean, Walk out, I wouldn't say was dominant yesterday, but he was pitching fine and has been one of their better pitchers over the last month or so. But like someone suggested, and again, ideas are great. Like someone said, Steven Cruz, they just called up. Have him pitch two innings, then Urcig. Like it's very easy. Hold on, it's very easy in hindsight. Like Cruz has not pitched at all in the big leagues this year. Now you're relying in high leverage. You want him to go two innings? Like
you think he's going to go two innings and not give up a single? You think he's giving up zero runs in six outs to the Guardians?
You rather have Steven Cruz go two innings than try to have Wacha go one inning in the seventh?
I'd rather Wacha go three.
Or just in this, he's three saying outs, yesterday. Sorry. Like no.
Yeah, it's tough because I understand the frustration, but this is one of those, and this is what I said earlier, but there are times like even in your life, not just sports, Gold, in life in general, sometimes you can make the right decision and it still go wrong. You can be, one time before I was driving out of town to Colorado, I had like a slight bubble in my tire and I was really concerned about it. I was getting ready to drive to Colorado and I went to the shop and I'm like, hey, do I need new tires here? Some of them are relatively new, but there's a small bubble. Do you think it's a problem? They look at it. They go through the whole thing. It's a tire shop. They want to sell me a tire. And they were like, you don't need new tires, man. You're good to go. 40 miles into that drive, Gold, that tire exploded. It's not like I didn't make the right call by going to get it looked at. Sometimes bad things happen. Last night was just Urcig didn't have it, and Walker didn't have it in the seventh, and they got beat. And now we're right back to the same situation we always are. Guess who the starting pitchers are for the next three games?
Yeah.
Singer, Lugo, and Reagans. You know what I'd like for the first time in like 2 months? All three of those guys to shove for three consecutive games. I'd love all three of them to show up and give me mid-season version of those guys when it's just win, win, win. When all three guys show up with their best stuff and just hammer it against a team. Because that's more likely their way to win the division, win anything we want, than, I don't know, one weird decision. I'm frustrated because like they could have been first place on their own. That would have been pretty cool. But they won 3 out of 4 against Cleveland. I feel great this morning. I still feel good. I feel good right now, even after losing that game. Assume you do too. You're not miserable today?
No, I mean, it obviously it stunk to lose, but they're in a really good spot. They had a successful series. Sorry, I was confused by a text. Someone says they should pull 12 ERA walkout. What are we talking about?
He means in the seventh inning.
Okay.
All right. He did have a 12 run average in the seventh inning in the 5-inning sample size. So, I mean, really.
Okay.
We got it all sorted now.
Gotcha.
5 innings out of the 150 he's thrown this year. It's just a very small sample size.
We'll talk some more baseball with Vern here in 15 minutes. Want to get his perspective, obviously, on how the seventh inning went and just this Astros team, too, because it's been so focused on the Guardians. But this is a really good Astros team.
It is.
They're going to play this weekend and how he thinks the Royals are going to fare. That's coming up in 15 minutes. But let's get to all 32. So remember, Tom Brady's got one rule created because of him, right?
Sure.
The Tuck rule. That's Tom Brady rule. We all know that. It's the Raiders. It looks like there's another rule that's being created because of Tom Brady. His is in a unique spot, but I guess this could theoretically happen again. We all know that Tom Brady's working with Fox, right? He's going to be on their broadcast this year, getting paid, what is it, like $300-something million on a 10-year deal. I mean, it's insane.
It's bonkers money.
But there's also a bid for him to become part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. Yesterday, the league confirmed that they are now going to have restrictions on his access to teams. He is not permitted to attend in-person or online broadcast production meetings, may not have access to team facilities, players, or coaches.
Seems bad.
The other broadcasters, of course, on Fox are not subject to this. He also must abide by the league constitution and bylaws that prohibit public criticism of officials, but is allowed to broadcast Raiders games. So he's in a much different spot. I wonder how this impacts his broadcasting. We'll find out as the year goes on. But that's a new rule created for Tom Brady. He's got two of them. My question for you is, when's the first Mahomes rule? Have I missed one? When's the first rule for Mahomes actually happen?
Gosh.
We got two for Brady.
We have a Josh Allen rule, for God's sakes. That's the overtime playoff rule.
Correct.
He didn't even get that rule. That's the Josh Allen rule.
Yeah,
damn.
I mean, in a way, I guess it's kind of a Mahomes rule.
But it's anti-Mahomes.
Yeah.
Brady's been getting fake. Well, this one is actually kind of anti-Brady, in fairness.
Yeah.
Because normally that would be good for a broadcaster. A chance to talk in production meetings, have a chance to talk to these teams who give you insight based on what they are.
But if he's going to be a part owner of the Raiders,
he's a known cheater, man. You can't give him a bunch of information.
You don't get access to that. Same thing for Belichick whenever that day comes. I know he's not a part owner. I wouldn't trust him.
Theoretically speaking, it is kind of funny that you have nothing to do with what goes on the field, but
he's part owner of the Raiders, right? He financially can benefit. Let's say he's meeting with the Chiefs before a game and Andy Reid says something.
You're saying he passes along information
that
potentially.
Would be the worry.
They have to avoid that. Because will he probably do it? I don't know, 50-50 with Brady. Again, known cheater. But on the other end, it's like you just can't leave that up to chance. You know, it's the same reason you can't bet on a game of baseball if you're a baseball player. Odds are you wouldn't cheat, but you could.
I know he's one of the best players of all time, but if that were to happen, the NFL would have to ban. Would have to ban him from. He can't attend games. He can't broadcast games.
Correct.
The contract gets canceled. Everything.
He'd be risking his entire broadcast career, but he'd still have hundreds of millions of dollars. And I don't know, date Superman wouldn't be that bad for him. I was always laughing. So this happens in football every once in a while, and it's kind of like a funny moment because teams retire jersey numbers, right? So you know, we know that the Chiefs' new tight end, Hendershot, got number 88. You might remember that once belonged to Tony Gonzalez. An all-time Chiefs great. Well, over in New York, Malik Nabers got permission from Jack Flaherty's. Is it Jay Flaherty's? I gotta look it up now. I forgot. Ray Flaherty. After all, I couldn't remember his name. Ray Flaherty's family to give him number one. He wanted to wear number one for the New York Giants as their new wide receiver. And I was laughing at the context that was gold. He got the family's permission. I'm like, these dudes don't know Ray Flaherty. He played in 1935. None of them met Ray. It'd be like asking you, Gold, if they could use your great-great-grandfather's number, and you'd be like, yeah, I don't care. Sure, go nuts. This man played for the Los Angeles Wildcats. He had 627 receiving yards in his career, and then didn't win any Super Bowls. He was a 7-time All-Pro, though, and as a coach, a 2-time NFL champion in 37 and 42. We should just retire numbers for like 50 years unless you're Tom Brady. Unless you're a quarterback, 50 years, and then you don't get to like hold on to it anymore. We got to open up the books.
Only
Yankees, just let it go after 50 years. Free these things up.
So only quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
So Mahomes 15.
They got to rank in the top 5 of your franchise history, your personal ranking as an organization. So you're in the Yankees. Sorry, person whose number is retired. Get out.
And the Yankees, yeah. I don't know. But again, there's a difference between, there's some teams that retire, but you can still wear, like there's some where they still quote unquote retire.
Kansas hangs them in the rafters, but anybody can wear their numbers.
That kind of, right? So there's a difference between like flat out. I like the whole thing. Get the permission from the family. They're also celebrating the 100-year anniversary of Giants football. They're wearing the weird uniforms this year at certain games or whatever. I get it. Yeah. Good. It's good PR, too. Malik Nabers also looks like he's going to be the real deal. So if there's anybody that's going to ever wear that number there.
Can you be the real deal with having Daniel Jones throw to you? What's the maximum amount of yardage that Malik Nabers can get this year with Daniel Jones?
1,300 still.
God, are you serious?
Yes. I think Malik Nabers possibly is the better rookie wide receiver
than
Marvin Harrison this year.
Ridiculously good camp.
Also, Daniel Jones will only be there for like a year and a half the season. So Malik Nabers will not be dealing with Daniel Jones very long.
Yeah, but it's not going to improve. What, Drew Locke's the backup?
No, I'm just saying like long-term Malik Nabers' career. Like Daniel Jones, this is it for him with Malik Nabers.
Did Drew Locke get hurt though?
Drew Locke did not have a great training camp out of reports out of New York, even though Daniel Jones, we all know who, but it's not. I thought there was a chance at one point when he signed there that Daniel Jones would have been in jeopardy because Locke would have a good camp and everything. And Daniel Jones is starting, but I think Drew Locke will end up starting some
Danny
games
Dimes,
later on.
Baby. Speaking
Tommy
of
Cutlets.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts said he was, quote, told not to worry about a lot of things and that his eagerness to learn was halted as a result of presence of center Jason Kelce. He said, or he told 94.1 WIP.
Oh, bold move, by the way, to throw Jason Kelce under the bus. That'll work out.
He told 94.1 WIP, I believe it's a sister station of ours, correct?
It is.
In Philly. Mm-hmm. We had a great player in Jason Kelce who took a lot of responsibility. Who took on a lot of responsibility. As a result of that, I was told not to worry about a lot of things. So my eagerness to learn over the years kind of was halted because of who we had. But now times are different, and I'm excited for that journey and this opportunity. It just seems kind of weird to bring this up as like, how was your eagerness to learn in terms of like calling out like the mic or whatever? I mean, I know that Jason was great, but you're still the quarterback. I feel like you still had some sort of a role.
Maybe it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago on All 32. I told you I couldn't decide if Philadelphia was a 13-win team or a 6-win team. Six. I'm going on the opposite end. I'll take the under on their win total, which is probably what, 9.5, 10.5? At least on that end.
I think it was 10.5.
I'll take the under on that end. I'm just not a believer in what's going on there. The biggest problem I think they have is that Sirianni and Jalen Hurts do not ever seem to be on the same page, which is pretty bad start when you're talking about quarterback-coach relationships.
I'm with you. I think we have brought this up before, and when we have, I mentioned, like, everybody's talking about the Cowboys' mess. Their mess, to me, will not impact the regular season. It's the normal Jerry Jones crap. CeeDee Lamb got a new deal. Micah Parsons is motivated for a new one. So is Dak Prescott. There's no worry about the relationship with the coaching staff. Philly's issues could actually hurt them on the field. So I know it's fun to poke, fun at the Cowboys, etc. Their concerns, to me, will not dictate whether or not they have a successful season, whereas the reports that a Philly could actually have real consequences. We'll see.
He later also said, by the way, I know we've had a well-respected Hall of Fame guy who's been doing that. Now we have the opportunity, or now I have the opportunity to do this. It's something I've been wanting, and I think that's how it's supposed to be. Did Jason refer to there were some struggles last year in the locker room at times? Like,
well, at the end, you remember that final game against the Bucks, like all the stuff that was coming out,
it was spilling over.
Not to say that
Big
Jalen
Dom's
Hurts
back though. So
not to say that Jalen Hurts was like, look, I want to have more control of the offense, and he wasn't given that, and that was boiling over to a bunch of different stuff. But yeah, it sounds chaotic.
That's All 32. Coming up next, we get right back on the Royals here on 96.5 The Fan. We talked to our guy Josh Vernier about yesterday's performance at seventh inning to see how he saw that play out, plus what to expect tonight and the rest of the weekend from the Royals against the Astros. Reminder coming up in about a half hour. We'll talk some fantasy football. A lot of you may be already drafting.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Maybe you got a draft tonight. At least that's the case for me. Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com will join us for his weekly visits. Every Thursday at 1 o'clock, Charch is going to join us. But we know I got our guy Vern joins us weekly, and it looks like he's going to be joining us quite a bit in October as well, as the Royals just a game back in the division. And obviously, you have a little bit of a cushion in the wild card race with less than 30 games to go. Vern's on deck show a little bit later on tonight before the Royals take on the Astros. Vern, good to have you on the show, man. I know yesterday it didn't end the way everybody wanted, but they took 3 of 4 from Cleveland. They gained some ground on them. It was a successful series. I don't know how it can't be viewed otherwise.
Yeah. If yesterday to me was just as simple as you were paying the tab for what happened in the first three games, a 2-hour and 14-minute rain delay in the nightcap. Not a single starting pitcher lasts 5 innings. One of them only records 5 outs. And the bullpen carried you to that series victory. Along with the bat of Bobby and Salvi, the bullpen, which spun 16 2/3 innings of two-run baseball in those first three games. You'll take 3 of 4 on the road against a first-place team. I know I'll take that coming up starting tonight in Houston.
What do you make about their matchup against Houston? We know there's been a couple times this year, Vern, where I think the American League is just about who you match up better against. Royals clearly match up better against Cleveland. Twins match up better against the Royals. Red Sox maybe match up better against the Royals. Whatever. Where do you think the Royals stack up against what Houston is good at?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not saying you're wrong, but just, you know, hearing that, and I had a few people bring that up on the postgame show of, the Royals don't match up great with the Twins. Man, watching those games, it wasn't about a matchup. It was the Royals playing poorly.
Sure.
The two series at Target Field, I don't believe the Royals have played worse defense than in those two stretches at Target Field. So, going up against really any team in the regular season, to me, it comes down to the starting pitching, and how the Royals match up is really good, right? Singer, Lugo, and Reagans to start this thing off, and likely Alec Marsh in the finale. I think the Royals will be favored, certainly in Cole Reagans' starts. They're not favored tonight. They probably won't be favored tomorrow. I'm not sure the matchup of the finale. Going in, you expect to, right? You hope for a split. Certainly can't get swept on the road, but to me it always comes down to starting pitching when it comes to the regular season. Now we start talking about matchups and how that impacts the postseason. Yeah, because the postseason's such a different game. The Royals and the Yankees and the Guardians, to me, are different beasts come October. Some are better in October. Some are better situated for the regular season. Honestly, that's where I think the Royals are right now, especially with the injury to Michael Lorenzen and still having Hunter Harvey banged up. I think the Royals right now are more of a regular season team that could ride the rotation to eat up innings, not put a lot on their bullpen. Come October, it might be a different story, especially if Lorenzen and Harvey are still banged up.
Because they had cut the innings down and the pitches down for Alec Marsh, my plan was a Power Rangers situation, Vern, in which essentially Marsh and Daniel Lynch combined to be one starter. Thoughts on whether or not they could just use Daniel Lynch for a couple of innings after Marsh?
Sure, they could. I don't know how good it's going to be. Same with Alec Marsh. I believe in Marsh more than I do Daniel Lynch. And yes, he looked really good in those three innings of relief. But we've seen him good before for three innings. I've seen him good before for three consecutive starts. And you know what? Who cares, I guess? Who cares what he's done before? Who cares how many times he or a Carlos Hernandez have let us down? There's, what, 28 games remaining in the season? Here you go. Here's your reset, Daniel Lynch. If you can avoid the numbers that are up on the Jumbotron, if you can pretend as if you have that zero ERA and attack these final few weeks of the regular season, sure, why not? I'm not trying to put a ceiling on the young man, but I would much rather have Alec Marsh just eat up five innings and then turn it over to maybe one inning of Daniel Lynch. But to stretch him out anything more than once through the lineup, if he can do that over three innings again, go for it. But to me, Daniel Lynch is still Daniel Lynch until proven otherwise.
We're talking to Vernon Royals insider, and I believe you're calling this 20-game stretch like the riptide, correct? I think I've heard that a few times from you. Now that we're seven games into it, they're 4-3. Has anything changed with just how you maybe view the outlook for this, knowing now that they're coming off a series in which they did take 3 of 4 from the Guardians? I don't know if that's something that any of us kind of maybe factored into how this 20-game stretch was going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I went into it hoping that they would go 500. I think I would, and they would be fine if at the end they went 8-12. But that was also when I, let me just put it this way. So far in the Riptide, these guys have made me look like a fool. Because if you would have told me that seven games in, they've already made seven errors, not to mention Bobby's drop yesterday that turned into a run, some misplays in the outfield, by misreads by MJ, by Isbell, by Blanco that have all helped turn into runs for either the Phillies or the Guardians. They've had one quality start in this seven-game stretch. They've had multiple pass balls. They've hit five dudes. Dairon Blanco makes the third out at third base with Bobby at the dish. If you would have told me that the starting pitching would be average at best, it's, well, below average over the course of these first seven games, that the defense would be below average, that the base running would be below average, I would think that the Riptide's taking these guys under and they would be 1-6 and reeling coming off a series loss in Cleveland. So the fact that the bullpen, Bobby, Salvi, that's not surprising. The bullpen certainly is, but for them to be 4-3, and I would imagine a lot of new, not new faces, but faces inside that clubhouse have some newfound confidence going into these final 28 games. The aforementioned Daniel Lynch, Carlos Hernandez, James MacArthur, guys that have been put through the ringer this season. If they're feeling good as we enter September, that's a great thing. And suddenly you're only going to go as far as your rotation, defense, and base running take you. Maybe that is no longer the case. Maybe. Well, this weekend will certainly let us know.
I think Nick Capel put the stat out since the All-Star break. Three of the top four guys in Major League Baseball in RBI are Vinny, Bobby, and Salvi. Aaron Judge being the other guy in that list right now. How much do other teams like actually look at that trio like we look at other teams middle of the order and be like, if we could just get through this, we're okay. But getting through that is a lot harder than people probably make it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, they're three of the top 10 for the season in Major League Baseball when it comes to RBI. They're three of the five most clutch hitters in Major League Baseball. You want to look at batting average with runners in scoring position. Bobby's number one, Vinny's number two, Salvi, I believe, now is number five. You look at OPS with runners in scoring position, so it's not just getting on base, it's doing damage. Bobby, Salvi, Vinny, they're all top 15 in Major League Baseball. Vinny didn't get off to the best of starts, but that OPS since the beginning of May is north of 800. He's hitting better than 300 since the All-Star break. Salvi started off so strong, maybe we didn't appreciate just how great of a start it was, right, when he was competing for that Triple Crown. But in the month of August, he's hitting better than 300. In the month of August, hitting better than 300, an OPS north of 900. Bobby's hitting better than 400 since the All-Star break. That might be the one thing that we were, I think, in agreement on going into the Riptide, which was, Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny must be great for this team to go blow to blow with Cleveland, coming up with Yordan and Bregman and the rest of the Astros. When the Twins come to town, right? The Twins, that's what they have over this division. They have, when healthy, the best lineup. Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi need to continue to produce like all-stars, like MVPs, especially if the rotation is showing the obvious signs of regression that we've seen over the past week.
Vern, where would you rank them in the American League? We asked ourselves this question earlier. Yeah. If you were to rank out the three, four, five best teams in the American League, where do you think the Royals are?
To be fair, I think you need to put them third behind New York and Baltimore. Personally, I'll only put New York ahead of them. But put them on the same field for a one-game playoff, a three-game series. If I'm the Royals, if I'm a Royals fan, I fear no one. But home field advantage in the Bronx, a seven-game series. Yeah, I think slight advantage New York. The question's going to be is who deals with the pressure better. Royals are playing with house money, and they don't know what they don't know. The Yankees, if they lose to the Royals, it's burn it down, right? And they have everything going on with Juan Soto. So there's always drama with the Yankees. So I would love to see that matchup come October, but I would fear nobody. But if I'm, again, to the question, I'll go Yankees 1. You know, the Orioles have even won the head-to-head matchups, but that goes back so early.
That's
in
like
the season.
Six games a million years ago.
Yeah, Will Smith was your closer back then. But, yeah, I'll still give the edge to Baltimore because of the division that they're in and because of the talent that they have. But I, to me, since that series, going back in April, it's always felt to me as if the Royals and the Orioles were going to meet again, and the Royals were going to have the opportunity to exercise those early season demons, those bullpen demons that we saw and have seen really throughout the season. I want Baltimore. I want New York in October, and I think those would be the two most balanced matchups.
Royals and Astros tonight, 7:10 first pitch. Vern's on deck show, 6 o'clock right here on 96.5. The Fan. We'll be listening tonight, Vern. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Vern joins us each and every week, and like as I said, he'll be joining us a lot longer this season. I have a feeling.
October, yeah. A little bit.
Definitely.
For those asking who are watching on the video stream, I had a lot of people ask and said, hey, what's this photo for Vern on the video stream? What is this? That is a photo of Josh Vernier's ID from his very first day ever at Odyssey.
I'm sure he appreciates that.
I gave him a choice. I sent him a text, and I said, hey, man, can I get a photo for your screen on the video stream? And he said, let me ask Katie. I don't know if I got one or whatever. And then he forgot and never sent me one. So that was his. I gave him an out. He had a choice. He could have sent me a different photo. He could have taken a photo from a wedding he was at all in a suit. I don't care. He could have sent whatever photo he wanted. I took the one from the very first day he ever worked at Odyssey.
We've got a couple of old ID badges for whatever reason hanging up in the studio. One is of Carrington. I don't know how old that photo is. And one is of Dusty. And he doesn't even look like that person in that photo anymore. But they're two photos that are still sitting up there.
Why don't we just throw them away?
I have no idea.
They're not even like real ID badges. They don't scan or anything. It was like for a brief period of time, and they're like, we're going to be safe.
Yeah. It is,
and they gave us plastic ID badges.
It's the old company name, too.
Do you know where yours is?
Yeah, I think it's in the glove box, maybe, in my car.
Glove box? Maybe. It's just rotting
maybe
in there?
I don't have a pile of press passes and stuff.
I think the last, like, maybe not last time, 2 years ago or something, I don't know, in a backpack clean out, mm-hmm. upon finding that in the backpack, into the garbage can. I'm like, I'm never wearing this again.
I got you.
It's got the old company name on. I'm definitely not wearing it now.
Well, the old one, you definitely get rid of.
I should have saved it for the Cody and Gold garage sale. That was a mistake by me.
We're going to have some vintage stuff, I think, in the garage
sale. The Club 610 sign, which is always behind me in the
video. With the station switching to 96.5 The Fan, I think we'll have some old stuff, some shirts and other things, maybe, that we can get our hands on for the garage sale next year. Reminder, coming up in 15 minutes, we're talking some fantasy football. Our weekly visits with Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues. I know you're drafting sometime soon, so we're going to get you set up for that draft. Also find out if you made a mistake in the draft already happened. How can you correct that mistake? So Charge will join us. We're also going to hear from Brett Veach in the 1 o'clock hour today, as he's meeting with the media before the start of the season. Now that the initial 53-man roster is set for this upcoming season.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. For those who don't know the text line number, 913-586-7965. We're over on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. We live stream the show on video. You could have earlier seen me blow out the candles on a birthday cake.
Yes.
You know?
This weekend.
You could have. It's this weekend.
Birthday.
This weekend.
You're turning 40.
40 years old.
40.
Yeah, 40.
And we'll see.
That's a big number, you know?
The guest, we'll see. There's still a chance.
You have to tell me 1:30 if they don't call.
Oh, I'll tell you what I was going for.
You gotta tell me who it's going to be. That's my birthday.
Yeah, so that's Sunday. But the guest is pending still.
But based on that, we'll still have a regular random question today. Mm-hmm. The question I have for anybody today is, have you ever had a random celebrity encounter? I asked that because yesterday at Rainy Day Books, none other than Keanu Reeves managed to just randomly stop by a Johnson County bookstore to sign his latest book. It was not like an announced
it was not a planned thing.
It was just like, he popped in and decided to sign some of his books at Rainy Day, which is very cool. And obviously, Keanu's got one of those reputations of being, like, incredibly cool. So I just want to know, have you ever had a random celebrity encounter?
Yeah, I first heard about that from, I was listening to Dana and Parks, and they were getting, like, texts on it, and they were asking people if they had seen it. And then, obviously, there was an article about it. That's cool. I think I've mentioned this one before. I guess it counts. You've heard me talk about the 2012 Final Four in New Orleans and how I was there. I was in college at the time. And KU was playing in the Final Four. And in the media area, back like underneath the stadium, if you will, like it's the back end of the stadium, there's restrooms, of course. And there's like two guys standing outside the restroom. Like, what is going on? Like, okay, fine. And walked in. It's Jay-Z. I've told the story
before. How close were you to Jay-Z? How many urinals apart?
Roughly. Like four.
Four? Yeah. Was there any people between you? Just you and Jay-Z?
They had these two. Turns out these were two security guys, like, cleared out the bathroom before he walked in. They want me. I must have just looked like I was a college kid. Like, yeah, this guy's not doing anything anyway. So they
this guy's probably fine. We could kick his ass.
So that would be the random. I should say encounter. It's not like I didn't say two words to Jay-Z.
Someone
but
said,
it was Jay-Z.
Over on Twitch, someone said, Scoop said, Frank Clark at Lucas Wine had a really nice truck. Just gave each other, you know, like, it's just like they give each other not. I want the. Not the place you're supposed to meet a celebrity, right? Not you bought backstage passes to some person you wanted to meet. Someone said, I ran into Dantari Poe at 1:30 in the morning at IHOP the morning after the Christmas Day game that he threw the jump pass touchdown. Hungry Pig, right? That's a great time to meet Dantari Poe. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was at IHOP at 1:30 in the morning.
You see, this one held the door for Terry Bradshaw. And his wife had a sandwich shop in Oklahoma once. Didn't click until they were gone. Okay. Yeah, that happens sometimes as well.
Someone says they went to the bathroom next to Greg Holland in Surprise, Arizona in 2014. I like, they're so perfectly random. like my wife's one for this. When she was in high school, was going to Spain for like part of like the club stuff. She's like 17 years old.
Yeah.
And she's going to Spain. And in the airport, as they were traveling abroad, they ran into like a famous rapper. And there's just like a random photo of my wife and like, six other, you know, 16, you know, 17 year olds. And you're like, next to DMX.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah. You're like, there's just a photo of you and DMX when you're in high school for whatever reason. RIP, by the way. Right. Didn't he die? Didn't DMX pass away? God, did I get DMX died,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Wow. God, somebody say something.
I wasn't sure. Don't make me just
hang there. Someone says I helped Trent Green at Lowe's with his kid's science project. Like you helped him get the big tri-fold whiteboard for like the science fair. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
The poster board.
Mm-hmm.
Classic stuff. That's that mean exactly. Someone said they met Danica Patrick at Cracker Barrel in Daytona, standing in line next to them. That's a perfectly random encounter. Oh man. I there's so many people.
They delivered pizza to Bill Nye, the science guy.
Bill Nye?
That's awesome. That's so cool.
That might be my favorite one yet.
That might be the best one.
Deliver pizza to Bill Nye?
I need more details. Like, did you order local or was it a national chain? Was he like, where was this?
Where is Bill Nye eating his pizza from?
Yeah, I'm curious. Bill Nye, the science guy.
It's a good one.
Over on Twitch, Briggs said, Alex Smith, I helped unload a bunch of packages out of his truck into the UPS store in the plaza. Didn't ask for a pick or autograph, just helped him and went along my day.
That's good.
Like, I help you unload these packages, Alex. See ya. Those are the best. They probably appreciate those more, don't they?
Did you read the one about Carson Palmer?
No.
Someone almost ran over Carson Palmer in a Jason Deli parking lot back in 2013. He flipped me off.
Sounds about right.
Hang on.
Hey, you almost ran him over. I mean, I actually get it. You know,
he's allowed to flip the bird there.
About right, though. It's down Carson Palmer's lane.
You had a favorite text. My favorite one is because they must not have caught the initial random question. Someone said Keanu Reeves was at Rainy Day Bookstore yesterday.
That's the origin of this question. That was because like somebody mentioned Tech N9ne multiple times. I told you the first time I ever met Tech N9ne, I was serving him at a restaurant. And I was worried that I screwed up his friend's order. It was very awkward because he said that you're effing me with that sauce after I had suggested it. And I was like, oh, man, I'm really sorry. He's like, that means I like it. I was like, well, just move on with my day. Enjoy your pork chops, sir.
Someone said they gave Bill Murray directions to a restaurant. I mean, that's a good one.
Bill Murray. Were you in Chicago? Where were you at? I'm curious.
Dusty would be jealous of this one. There were no seats on a streetcar, and Sydney Sweeney had nowhere to sit, so I let her.
Is that real story? Well,
oh, no, never mind. I'm not going to read the rest of the text.
No. True.
Is the rest of that true?
No.
You should have read that whole text through. You should have definitely read that whole text.
Might be Dusty texted in. Who knows? Man. Yeah, don't read the rest of that.
I will not.
Someone says they met Arthur Blank at a Sporting KC game. Someone's also claiming Brody Croyle stole their pin. Can I get more? Can I get more information on how he stole your pin?
Yeah.
Man, everyone has a random celebrity.
Of course.
Don't
I mean,
they?
Yeah, because
you live life long enough, you're going to accidentally run
into
a celebrity.
Something random happens, man.
I guess this person wasn't famous enough, but I've had a couple of run-ins that I remember somebody famous being there, but I don't remember who the person was.
I ran into Tony Gonzalez and Vonnie Holiday outside of a Houston's once, chatted with him for a few minutes. But that Houston's on the plaza, man. That was like the spot for Chiefs players.
I think it was Reggie Wayne for myself. We ran into Reggie Wayne somewhere, and it was a really big deal, but we had to play it kind of cool. I was a little kid. And
the follow-up on the Bill Nye pizza, it was Minsky's, someone said, in Lee Summit. That was the follow-up of Bill Nye.
Minsky's and Lee Summit? What was he doing that,
They said he had family
think
here.
That's the best. That's such a great one.
Man, everyone's got the best possible one.
Yeah, including accusing me. Cody Tapp. I met him, cut in front of me in line at a Quick Trip.
That's never happened.
Sounds about right. That's not even that.
Also,
that's not an unusual encounter. That happens all the time.
To be clear, Quick Trip's a free-for-all. If you can't figure out how to get to the other side of the register and multiple people working
simple.
It, that's on you. Like, we're not single-filing at Quick Trip, okay? They have it's not a lawless society, but they have a way that their system works.
I don't know if I'd call it it doesn't fit the criteria because it was on the show, but you had a run-in, or Terry Bradshaw had a run-in with you, I guess. That was not planned.
That's not a full-on encounter, though.
No, he was planned. Like, I'm saying, like, a random. Yeah. Because I've got some, like, at the American sit, but, like, celebrities are meant to be. It's not a happenstance encounter. I was going to be near those. Or you and I probably have stories of, like, where, like,
being a Radio Row.
Being near an athlete or something might be there. I'm talking random encounter. Yeah, Radio Row doesn't count.
Yeah, that does not count.
Not unless you'd gotten Little Dicky on the show, in which you failed. Little Dicky never did come on this show. He never was.
He never was, yeah.
His people were I think they were wondering why the hell I wanted, because I approached them twice, because you wanted me to, Cody.
Yeah, they wouldn't. They were like, why
are you this interested in Little Dicky at the Super Bowl?
So they were like Little Dicky's name. That's how they treated you. Okay. That's how they treated you.
Yeah. Right.
So, well, there were more than just them that did that.
Okay. Well, okay.
I was going to get Cameron Jordan was going to come on the show and talk about Chris Jones. He said he would meet me in a certain spot, and that never happened.
That's the random question of the day. Last one.
Which one? They're coming in so fast.
The one about Bink. Someone said they saw Binkley at Chipotle. He was reaching over the glass, pointing at what he wanted. Hopefully that's not true.
I did get drunk in high school.
That's
with
not
the,
true, Bink. He's gonna text me.
I'm about to ask.
I did get drunk in high school with one of the lead singers of Puddle of Mud, but he was like my next door neighbor's friend. Does that count as random? I didn't know he was gonna be there. He probably also shouldn't have let high school kids drink at his house. I'm sure the statute of limitations.
Not talking about now. I'm just saying in general. Yes, it's probably a good idea. Not that it hasn't happened.
Has anyone
times,
listened to Puddle of Mud anytime in the last 20 years? Do you remember that band? It's a Kansas City band. Come on.
Nope.
Respect your history.
I'd have to hear something.
You'd know at least one of their songs.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Just Google Drew Puddle of Mud's biggest hit and come back with it from break.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Do I need to get the instrumental version of the... Do I need to get the instrumental version? Do I need to listen to it before I play
it? I think
it?
It's probably fine.
That doesn't give me confidence. I'll go ahead and listen to it.
I think it's probably fine.
Coming up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour. Paul Charchian of Guillotine League is going to get us right for fantasy football. Who should you be drafting before your drafts tonight and before next Thursday? Plus, expected to hear from Brett Veach, Chiefs General Manager, before the start of the season right here on 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.